Welcome back and thank you for staying with us. Still, show me what you got, your premier sports talk show on your airwaves. The other D Brown still on the show, of course. And I'm sure a lot of you might have heard about disability sports, or you might have probably even been involved with some of its kind, you know. And of course, yours truly, I love my wheelchair basketball. In Darwin here, we have Paralympians and professional disabled athletes who have gone to the top of their game and put on the green and gold and just done exploits in their various fields. Now, joining me in the studio is someone who himself has a vision impairment and he has dabbled into a whole bunch of sports. He's currently now in charge of the disability sports NT up here in the north, and he has done so much, I tell you, so much to grow the strength of this sport, of people living with disabilities participating in sports, and of course growing that all-inclusive space. James Little from Disability Sports NT. What's going on, James?
Hi, Diola. How are you, mate?
Man, great to have you. Thank you for coming on.
It's been a long time coming.
Man, it has been. You're a hard man to get a hold of, man. You're important, bro.
Thanks, man. Thanks. Yeah, it's good to be here.
Absolutely. Now, you've been a very busy man in the least sense of it, man. You've been dabbling into multiple sports, you know, growing that space of disability sports up here. Tell us a little bit about your role and your time up here.
Yeah, so Disability Sports Northern Territory was first established at the back end of 2019. So hasn't necessarily had a bit of a presence in the NT, but we had a bit of a down period with COVID last year, obviously being a bit of a barrier in networking and doing some mapping. But we hit the ground running come the back end of last year when I took up the role in November. And essentially, at the end of the day, we're aiming to support different levels of disability to be more active more often. So physical disability, sensory and intellectual. So essentially my role is designed to be the link between allied health, disability service providers and peak sporting bodies, whilst also giving those peak sporting bodies an opportunity to take responsibility in creating a product or reflecting a national product that's more inclusive and more accessible for people with disability.
Amazing. Now, what have been the challenges or support you've had over this period of time in this space?
I think just given the untouched climate of the territory surrounding inclusive sport, as I mentioned, we haven't necessarily had a presence since before 2019. So specific barriers surrounding the links between the allied health and providers to support. Second of all, I'd probably also say the education and awareness from people within peak sporting bodies and their roles. So, and a lot of that comes down to capacity, given the territory and the regional development of, you know, Alice Springs and Catherine and different towns across the territory. Those barriers there to resource allocation are always going to be quite prevalent. So I think it's about negotiating those barriers and bringing down the stigma surrounding, you know, a bit of an extra burden or other challenges that may arise along the way.
Right. And like you said, this is a brand new space, right? I mean, it's not brand new, but people are beginning to take on this new concept in sports for in disabilities. Now, how do you manage converting sports to suit people with disabilities? You know, take for instance, we had Gemma on the show. She came up with the baseball five concept, you know, where there are no bats and equipment. You know, basketball has its own concept. You know, footy and rugby have their own concept. Yeah. You know, how do you go about, you know, deciphering how to engage a sport that can suit people with disabilities?
Yeah, really great question. I suppose from my end, you know, I've had experience at the AFL in the disability program space, and my kind of theory on it all is to keep it consistent, so there's no need to reinvent the wheel per se, but also to kind of provide that opportunity, so give it a go as a sport. You know, I turn into sports and say, well, there's no barriers here in terms of just giving it a go. Hey, it might not work. Just like anything in life, if it doesn't work, we try again. But let's keep a consistent model. Let's engage the right people. So maybe do some research surrounding what your sport is friendly to. For instance, is there an alternative we can go about with visual impairments or wheelchair sport? Obviously, given the popularity of wheelchair sport now with Paralympics Tokyo approaching, it's important just to manage the expectations of each sport and disability.
That's an amazing approach to have, and very positive mindset, of course, to adopt. Now you have vision impairment, you know, and you play sport, all right? And,
I try.
I mean, but you love it, and you shouldn't be neglected opportunity should not be taken away from you. Now, how do you engage in sports, and how does your disability help you participate in this sport?
Yeah, really good question, and one that I'm pretty open about, given my experiences and, I suppose, positive experiences to date. Yeah, so I've got a condition called aniridia, which is essentially, I don't have my iris in my eye, the protective layer, which can also form, a bit of blindness in there as well. So essentially my long distance is heavily impacted to the point where I'm unable to drive and different barriers surrounding that are prevalent in my vision. But in terms of sport, I think for mine, it came down to people giving me a go, and it came down to clubs. So local AFL clubs and local cricket clubs really getting behind me and providing adequate support. And it doesn't have to be, they're educated in the space. It's more or less just making little adaptions along the way. So if they need to slow down the cricket ball when they're bowling to me, they do that, and they put participants that are suitable in the net for me. Or if it's AFL, they communicate with me and talk to me a bit more as to what they might do for you. So I love the challenge surrounding that, and I know you and I were speaking off air around how I hurt my finger playing footy like 3 months ago, and it was simply because I got in an awkward position and I didn't see the ball, and next minute my bone sticking out of my finger. So those challenges are always going to be there, mate. Yeah. But I think it's you got to just take them on, and I'll die happy if I've given everything a go, mate, to be honest. So,
right, man. You're going to be here for a long time, man. I tell you that, man. Take care of that finger, my brother. But how do we bridge this gap? You know, now you're a living example of that gap being bridged, but on a larger scale, to people who are not as motivated as you, have some form of consciousness about, hey, I don't know if I want to try this sport with other people, well, how do we bridge that gap of getting people with disabilities involved with sports generally on a larger scale?
Yeah, I think it's important the impact people play in those people with disabilities' lives. So it comes down to encouragement of getting involved and really driving it. But also it's creating a product that's really, I suppose, trialled and tested from that sport too. So offering a disability program is often seen upon to just tick the boxes maybe for funding or whatever it could be, but I think really creating a product that's friendly, engaging and fun and social,
right,
is a great way to negate those barriers. Often they're going to come back. And then also, mate, it's also important to note that people with disability don't have to like sport, and they don't have to play the sport. They can play a role in the field, whether it be a coach, volunteer, administration, or they could offer their services, for instance, fixing wheelchairs because they're a mechanic, or, they're familiar with bikes. So those kind of examples I like to draw upon. We're not all going to have to play sport. We don't always have to engage in active recreation like walking or running. But I suppose, taking it on personal basis and individual basis is probably the first point of call.
Amazing. And of course, being social and inclusive, and of course, lending a helping hand to that group is something that some Paralympians in Darwin we know about have been doing. Melissa, CJ, Tom. We just saw you unveiling CJ Clarence McGrogan, who is now the ambassador of disability sports entity. How did that come about, and what's that like?
Oh, CJ is a great advocate for people with disability in the territory.
Right.
So CJ is obviously, for those that don't know, he's trialing to become a member of the Paralympics wheelchair basketball team in Tokyo this year, which is super exciting for CJ. But he's really an advocate for disability, and he's been president at many different programs in the territory. Wheelchair basketball on a Thursday night, it's very popular. He was at our Baseball 5 event last Friday, and he won an award at the International Day of People with Disability last year. So his recognition goes above and beyond.
Absolutely.
And I suppose it reflects my vision as an individual,
an
employee, and disability sports NT. So it really worked in well, and super, super lucky to have CJ
beautiful.
On board. So
beautiful.
Excited for the upcoming programs that we might see CJ attend.
Amazing. We'll be looking out for those as well. And real quick, for people living with disabilities, how do they find you?
Yeah, so we can be located just in the search bar of Facebook, Disability Sports NT, or you can send me through an email, james@sportsnt.org.au, or we've also got a website at Disability Sports Australia or Disability Sports NT.
Amazing. And just real quick before we let you go, of course, our 30-second goldmine segment, you know, 30 seconds, shoot, to tell anyone out there living with a disability who has been questioning, can I play sports of some kind? What is your word to them?
Yeah, I think from my experience, it's about identifying whether you do want to play some sport, and if you do, you got to reach out. You know, the biggest barrier for me was reaching out and putting some trust into some people. And I think like any sport deal, you know, yourself getting involved in basketball, you're often mentored or educated through different platforms. So don't hesitate to reach out. Even if you're not keen on sport, you know, I'm always here to have a yarn for any Territorian that has disability and wants to get more active.
Incredible words there from James Little, coordinator of Disability Sports MT. Thank you so much for coming on the program, James.
Nah, thanks to y'all. It's been a pleasure.
James Little right there, top bloke, man. I love this guy so much, man. He's doing so much for disability sports up in the NT. Now, for more of that chat or the full version of that interview, be sure to jump onto territoryfm.com/podcast to listen to that incredible chat I had with James and many others. Now, coming up next, we will be listening to my throwback chat that I had with April Lamb, our territory local basketball star who played for Lightning Basketball Club and won 3 back-to-back-to-back championships. And right now, she's gunning down south in the NBL1 competition in Adelaide. She's been doing so well. I remember that right after that, she'll be jetting off to the US for her scholarship in South Carolina. April Lamb will be up next.